If you would open your pew Bible to page 816 in the Hebrew Bible, and if you have the large print Bible, it's on 1060. Micah 6:1. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you, enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember how now what the king Balak of Moab devised, with what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal. And you may know the saying, the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? The word of God for the people of God. Be to God. And if you turn in the back of your hymnal to page 747, we'll read together Psalms 15. Psalms 15. O Lord, who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? The one who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from the heart. Who does not slander with the tongue and does no evil to a friend, nor takes up a reproach against a neighbor, in whose eyes a reproach is sufficed, but who honors those who fear the Lord? Who does not put out money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent? The one who does these things shall never be moved. The word of God for the people of God.
I think Sandy was just overcome by orange and forgot the most important part of that scripture. So I don't mean to call her mistake into question, and I apologize, but I wanted to share it with you. So let's go back to page 816 and look at the end of the reading from Micah. And let me just pick it up at verse 6, and I'll go through verse 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. It can be found on page 156 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 202 if you're using the large print edition. And this is one of my favorite passages, actually, out of most of Paul's letters. So hear these words. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, who leads us in that fight as we hear about Jesus' way of peace. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, what is, I hope, a familiar and wonderful passage for you. It's on page 4 of the New Testament of the Pew Bible. It's the same for both. It's also on page 4 of the large print Bible. So if we turn to page 4 and hear Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, on this Super Bowl Sunday, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest to you that you and I and Peyton Manning have more in common than you might at first suspect. Yes, it's true that Peyton Manning and most of us here this morning really want the Broncos to beat the Seattle Seahawks. But our commonality goes beyond rooting for the home team. I believe that you and I and Peyton Manning are all seeking God's wisdom. As an illustration, let me share with you a few quotes that Peyton wrote in his book, Manning, that he wrote with his father, Archie, in 2001. Kevin Condon turned me on to these quotes from Peyton Manning, and this is his words. "For me, generally, it has always been the big four: faith, family, friends, and football. As important as football is to me, it can never be higher than fourth. My faith has been number one since I was 13 years old." Some players get more vocal about it, and some point to heaven after scoring a touchdown and praise God after games. I have no problem with that. But I don't do it. And I don't think it makes me any less of a Christian. I just want my actions to speak louder. And I don't want to be more of a target for criticism. My faith doesn't make me perfect. It makes me forgiven and provides me the assurance I look for half my life ago. I've been blessed having so little go wrong in my life and being given so much. I pray every night, sometimes long prayers about a lot of things and a lot of people, but I don't talk about it or brag about it because that's between God and me. And I'm no better than anybody else in God's sight. But I consider myself fortunate to be able to go to Him for guidance. And I hope and pray I don't do too many things that displease Him. I believe, too, that life is much better and freer when you're committed to God in that way. From his book, Manning. Faith, family, friends, and football. Is that how you would list your priorities? Is God number one for you? I consider myself fortunate, he says, to be able to go to him for guidance. And I hope and pray I don't do too many things that displease him. I believe, too, that life is much better and freer when you're committed to God in that way. It sounds to me like Peyton Manning is truly seeking God's wisdom. How about you? Are you seeking God's wisdom? So many of us try to find the meaning and purpose in life by looking to the secular world, the world all around us. We look for wisdom, power, meaning, and redemption. Paul had a fascinating insight into this human tendency. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let one who boasts boast in the Lord. But you know what? Maybe that seeking after God's wisdom is truly the fool's errand. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. One of those truths that can be sometimes hard to grasp is this. God is God, and you are not God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. From Isaiah, we hear this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We will never truly or fully understand the wisdom of God. But Paul offers us a hint. We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This enigmatic wisdom of God is seen in Jesus Christ crucified. This is a glimpse of the divine love and reconciliation that God offers to each of God's children. If you want a simplistic view of God's wisdom, take a look at the bulletin cover. That is the wisdom of God. Well, my friends, maybe the best that we can do in seeking God's wisdom is to consider those words from Peyton Manning and to study the words of the Holy Bible. And that Bible study is a lifelong quest. But today, for this moment, consider these few words from Jesus' own Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And finally, from Micah. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? My sisters and brothers, perhaps that's the best that we can hope for. Maybe that's the best way to respond to God's mysterious wisdom and God's incomprehensible love to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. May it be so for you. Amen.